Welcome to the Kyle Jim Fantasy Football Podcast Extraordinaire. I'm your host, Jim, and our other host over here is Kyle. How are you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing good. Packers won. I did have a pretty heartbreaking loss in fantasy this week. We'll get into it in the matchup recap, I guess. But yeah, overall, pretty good. How about you?
Fantasy's going pretty good. Football game, I haven't turned off a Lions game in like the third quarter in a long time. So I was just like, man, this is already over. It looked like our backup was about to go in. So I decided, you know, might as well do something else with my time than watch our backups play for the last, you know, quarter. So it's always good when your team can win like that. But yeah, it was a pretty good weekend. Don't you have some other leagues, though? How did your other leagues go?
The other one, I also have a really good team in that one, but I lost in that one too. Can't remember. I needed Najee to score like 18. I think he got to like 13. It's a standard league.
Game. You just need to have a touchdown.
Yeah. All. Yeah. Definitely thought it was possible. I think I lost to Mike in that league, actually.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. He had someone weird go off. Ladd McConkey. I think I got Ladd McConkey'd.
Oh, really? I mean, yep. Ladd's looking pretty good. And I wanted to have a free agent. I saw Porter pick him up, and I was like, I was contemplating it. I didn't. And I was like, that's a good pickup. And obviously, now it's starting to pay off.
Yeah, I think I got McConkey'd in both leagues this week. Well, yeah, that's how she goes. But sometimes you're just destined to lose them. I think I've only lost two in that league so far, so I'm sitting pretty. This league that we're in, yeah, it's
a rough year.
I'm going to need to go on a run here at the end to make something happen.
This is one of the more rough rosters I've seen in a while. Like, you definitely had to piece some things together to be competitive.
You know where it all went wrong is when I drafted Mahomes in the fourth round. That's everything went. I definitely Mahomes and then Rashi Rice back to back in the fourth and fifth. So that sunk me because Mahomes sucks and Rice is hurt.
Yep. I saw a statistic that they put out. The winless teams, the highest percentage rostered players are Travis Etienne and Patrick Mahomes. So people are not overcoming the Patrick Mahomes pick this year. He's been really
higher
bad.
Than CMC. I would figure he'd be probably the worst one.
You would think, but maybe there was something with like the first round pick, typically like that swing pick. Maybe that was getting you like Josh Jacobs and like some really good receiver.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, it's kind of depends on who else is available in those areas. But yeah, and the other thing too is you probably could have found a way around McCaffrey earlier, where you were probably
a lot of people got Mason.
During a lot of the bad weeks where it's like, you know, McCaffrey didn't hurt you as much because he just wasn't playing, so you found something else. So it makes some sense. But yeah, you'd think McCaffrey, but yeah, I think Mahomes is the highest percentage actually by like a 2.2% over ETN.
Yeah, next year I'll avoid him like the plague and that'll be his MVP year.
Yep, he'll be right back to 2000.
That'll be the year Xavier Worthy steps up and turns into the next Tyreek Hill.
Right.
Oh yeah, all right, let's jump into it. We'll start as we always do with the Fab Bet results from last week. So the bet was who would be the lowest scorer of the week. Turns out it was Scooter with 88.08 points scored. It's not even that low, fairly low, but not terribly under the league average.
You can win with that score.
It's hard, some people win with that. Definitely not the lowest of the season or even close to it. Anyways, only one person picked it. So congratulations to Scooter for picking on yourself. No one else agreed, and at least you got $5 out of the loss. So congrats on that. Spend it wisely. Use that $5. Come back stronger than ever. It's the way to roll. Question for next week is going to be, does Jim remain undefeated? So far, no one's been able to take him down. Not even going to lie, I'm just straight up trying to jinx you with this one because I'm assuming the majority is going to say you will remain undefeated. And so far, the majority has always been wrong in these polls. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but
I mean, you're just trying to sabotage me. I mean, this is collusion, I believe. You're trying to get the league against me to vote to make me lose. I don't know if I like this.
Well, maybe they'll all vote against you.
I this week.
I didn't even look.
Hard matchup? Let me see. Because I'm curious if it's someone that isn't really.
Maybe you have bad buys.
You said you saw it already?
No, I didn't look at it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think Lee's number two in scoring.
Yep, he's number two.
So he'd be the scariest other team to face right now. But he's in your division. So
actually,
you won't
it is going to be a good matchup. Andy, Karstens.
Oh, yeah, Karstens. Okay.
I mean, his team's pretty
Lamar
solid.
Lamar turns it on.
So at least it's a good matchup. It's not like I'm playing against, you know, some team that's like projected for 100 points. I mean, he's going to be neck position to beat me. The only problem is best player is probably Lamar Jackson. He plays Denver. That could be bad.
Yeah, that stinks. But they got to prove something now. Because those guys just lost another one to the Browns. So I assume the Ravens will come out swinging next week to...
Maybe. I mean, Denver's defense
statement game down.
Really good. So
true. Yeah,
we'll see.
We'll see. That's the question. Scoots, I added your $5 already. Excuse me. And I'll put the poll question up in the group chat tomorrow. Probably before anyone even hears this. So that's it for the fam. We'll jump into the week 8 highlights. I don't have too many this week. I didn't watch too much football this week, honestly. But the first one I have is the Patriots beat Aaron Rodgers and the Jets 25-22. The Jets' offense actually looked all right this game. Their defense just suffered. They allowed 25 points to be scored. Jets fall to 2-6, and it looks like their playoff hopes are done for. Kind of feel bad for Adams wanting to go over there, and looks like his team's as bad as the one he left. I don't know what you think about it.
Well, when he made the comment last week about the team not showing enough effort, like that's pretty telling. Like, the guy was on the team for less than a week and he's already saying shit like that. To me, that's something Rodgers is like seeping into his head. Like, this is one of the problems here when he came here. Like, we need to, like, you know, tell these guys they gotta, you know, play with more aggression, be more like team first oriented, you know, stop fucking around. I don't know if that's what it is, but it just seemed weird. So like you said, yeah, the offense did play a little bit better. The defenses were probably the biggest surprise. I don't expect their defense to be one of the top like 5 to 3 units in the league, and they've been very disappointing, I feel.
Yeah.
I saw that the Jets, Dolphins, and Patriots, I think, have combined wins are less than the Bills. So like, this division's already over.
Boy,
so
yeah.
But they're already 2-6. They have to make the wild card. They're gonna have to start winning some games. Rodgers can turn it around, but I think Father Time's starting to catch up to Rodgers. As we're talking before the podcast went on, I think he's just, everyone thought he was going to be Tom Brady, you know, playing until 45. But what people don't realize is almost every quarterback that we've known has like never made it to that point playing at that level. Tom Brady was the exception, not the rule. Rodgers relies more on his athleticism. I think you're going to start seeing them kind of falter more and more. And I think this team is, the way they fired their coach and everything, I think they might, their season might be over.
Yeah, I mean, people don't stay as elite athletes until 40 often. It's the extreme exception when that happens. I mean, LeBron James is doing it right now, I guess, in basketball, which is incredibly impressive. But for him, no one was able to do it. Same thing with Brady. I mean, yeah, he did it. But for him, no one was ever really still in that elite caliber at that age. Some people played to that age, but usually it looks more like what Rodgers is doing.
And I think Rodgers and Tom Brady spent multiple $1 million on their bodies every year. I know Rodgers started to take some of the tips from Brady and he started to be more cautious what he put in his body. But like, he's notorious for being a guy who, you know, I think even said it, like, I'm a 70-30 type guy. Like, I eat good 70% of the time and 30% of the time I eat like shit. So if he's still doing that kind of stuff, like, I don't know if his body's going to like really hold up. Like, you mentioned, yep, LeBron, like, he's the same thing. Like, that guy was just, he's on a different level of competitiveness, and that's why he just puts his body through everything he does to keep him healthy. Same thing Brady did. I don't think Rodgers is the same type of mindset, unfortunately.
Definitely doesn't seem like it. But yeah, I mean, they need to go on quite the tear here to make something happen. I haven't seen anything from the games I've watched to make me believe that it's possible. So
talent's there, but yeah, it hasn't.
That's the thing. The talent's together. There. The talent's all over the place on that team. That's why the hopes were high, but they've been dashed pretty quickly in the first third of the season already. Yeah, next one. We had an upset this week. Pretty big upset. I think in the Pick'em League, no one got this one right, but the Browns beat the Ravens 29-24. Kind of wild, but the Browns, once again this year, Sean Watson leaves, and they look like a legit playoff team. I don't know if they'll actually make the playoffs. I think Deshaun Watson already dug them too big of a hole. I believe they're 2-6 as well, and that, even if you are really good, which I think the Browns are better than the Jets, it's hard to win enough games to overcome that. We'll see what happens. But Jameis Winston was impressive. 2 for 334 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Very unusual for him. We'll see.
He tried. He tried a lot. Yeah. It was like 3 or 4 dropped on, or interceptions. He was pretty fortunate.
This game. Yeah, there should have been some picks, but I mean, There weren't. Sometimes they bounce the wrong way. Sometimes they bounce the right way. They all bounce the right way this time.
Did you see the Hamilton one at the end?
I don't. Yeah, maybe.
They should have lost the game. So there was a receiver going over like the middle on a slot route, just kind of a quick slant, going over the middle, probably like 8 yards deep. Jameis just throws it like 5 feet over his head. And Hamilton's back playing the safety role, dives for the ball. It's literally in his hands, and he just stumbles, and the ball falls out. Probably one of the easiest interceptions of his life. But he dropped it, and you could just see he knew right there he fucked up, and he was just, his hands were in his head. His head was in his hands, and he just knew that that was a big deal. And then I think a play or two later, Jameis threw a touchdown.
Well, that's the way she rolls. Yeah, the almighty Ravens are showing some flaws. They've lost a couple games this year that, to me, pretty shocking. Also the Vegas as well this year, which it's weird to lose those kind of teams when you're kind of looking like a juggernaut in so many other games.
They were like that last year, too. They would just blow out good teams and lose to bad teams. Like they're kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde team a little bit.
Yeah.
This one, I give them a little more excuses because it's an in-division game, and that's always going to be a harder matchup, even if you're not a good team or the other team you're playing against isn't that great. So I'll give them a pass here. But, yeah, the Oakland loss or the loss, kind of can't remember, the Las Vegas Raiders loss was definitely a bad one for a team as talented as they are.
That was a strange one. Those divisional games, that division, they always play each other hard as fuck, so that wasn't super surprising.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, that's kind of always how it goes in that division. Doesn't matter who's like the juggernaut of that division, like the bottom of the division can still beat you for some reason, whoever it happens to be in that given year. Last one I threw in here, I didn't actually watch it. I think it was on at the same time as the Packers, so I didn't catch any of it. But the Chiefs beat the Raiders. They remain undefeated, last undefeated team in the NFL. Mahomes threw another pick, keeps the interception alive. Stays atop the NFL in interceptions. I think he's still tied with Jordan Love. No one wants to give that title up so far. They just keep throwing one every week. That was our bet for the week. Well, the bet was, will Jordan Love throw an interception? And he did. He only played half a game, and he still managed to get one. He made it almost exactly one quarter without throwing one. But it was the start of the second. Yeah,
he sent me the message on Discord like, oh, it already happened.
I was watching it. I was watching it at a friend's house, and we were in their basement, so I couldn't text anybody. I was like, oh, fuck, but they have Wi-Fi, so I was like, I'm gonna send it to you on Discord. I was like, yep. It was a bad one too. It was like both of them were just running towards the sideline. the corner was in front of him. I don't know why he thought he'd get away with that one.
That's whatever. I'm not sure if he's good yet or not. I don't know if he just doesn't see it. Or if he's just too confident. It's kind of one of those things. You kind of got to see him play it out a little bit more and just see if, like, is he just reckless because he's not good, or is he reckless because he might be good and he knows he can get away with it? Like, you know, Stafford had a lot of that in him too. And obviously you guys had Favre. That was kind of how Favre lived. Love kind of fits in that same ilk, and he just needs to tone it down a little bit. You use those in certain situations. They're not something you always go for. And these young quarterbacks, they have to learn that, especially ones that can, they're so gifted. There was actually a podcast where Jared Goff was sitting down with Belichick this week, and he was talking about that, how, you know, he just had to learn, as easy as it seems, but like, you take all this time in the week to prep on a play, and when that play is called, you're like, we gotta make this play work. And Goff has kind of learned, like, hey, sometimes don't take that, you know, like, it's too covered, live for another play. You have another play like that later, because like, sometimes they have like 5 or 6 plays every game that they want to try out. And if you just wait for the next one, maybe the next one will work. And maybe that's where Love is struggling. He's just trying to always take that, you know, play that they practice all week and just try to make it work. I'm not sure, but still got, I would say, another half of the season for I'll really make a strong opinion on him. But he's got everything you need.
We'll see. I mean, this one, I think a few of them this year are just like, it's one-on-one coverage. He knows no one else can get involved. He's like, I trust my dude to make it. Yeah. And it's like, if they've got like a, you know, if they've got him boxed out on one side, I can get that. But this one wasn't even like that. It's like the receiver would have had to like reach around in front of the guy to get it. He was almost on the defense at that point. But
those are hard ones to defend.
sometimes you're like, nah, Reed's good enough. He'll come down with it somehow. But either way, he threw the pick. Here's my shot of good old fashioned Mallort.
Is that two in a row for me now? I'm catching up. Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Ooh. Tasty. Yeah, it's 3-5 now. Still in my favor, but you're only down by 2.
There we go.
We'll see what happens next week. I think you'll be favored in the next one, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Might as well. Yeah, Packers are playing the Lions next week, so that's going to be our bet for the week. Packers are at home, so they probably get up. You know, it's usually like a 3-point swing towards your side for that.
Lions would be like a 3-4 point favorite, if I were to guess.
I think it's
not, I'm not a big person on Vegas odds. I just feel like we're probably close to a touchdown favorite. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
That'd be huge. I will look it up later. But for now, that's the NFL. That's the shot. I'm loving it, as you can tell. We'll get into the NFC North. These were kind of, honestly, some of the better games of the week anyways, I thought. We'll start with the Bears.
The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck.
They lose in a heartbreaker. I'm sure everyone saw it. The Hail Mary to end the game. It was pretty wild. But the vast majority of this game was boring as shit. No one was doing anything. I thought the Bears would do more on offense in this game because they've kind of been looking hot on offense. Yeah. And the Commanders' defense has not looked that great this year, but maybe they're figuring it out. You know, it's getting to midseason. Guys are gelling. Units are gelling together. Some defenses are starting to get better. But, you know, it's kind of back and forth at the end. It looked like the Bears were going to win. They scored a touchdown with, I think, like, I don't know, maybe 20 seconds left on the clock. But Jaden Daniels led his team to about the 40, their own 40-yard line. And
that was like one big pass. So I don't know if it was McLaurin or something. But, yeah, they threw one big pass to get into position to be able to throw the Hail Mary.
And that, too, was, I don't know what the Bears were doing. Like, you knew that's what they were going to do, but they were playing so soft on it. It's like you knew they weren't going to go for the Hail Mary there. They're going to go for one more quick pass like that. So let them get away with that, because if they don't get that extra 15, 20 yards, I don't know if Jaden Daniels can chuck it. But it wouldn't be like a 75, 80-yard touchdown at that point. That's
exactly. Well, there's defenders on the Bears that came out and said that they were shocked that they didn't play to the corners and stuff to take away that type of pass. Like, why didn't they play more aggressive? They just gave that to them. Like, they were like, we'll just go to a Hail Mary play. Where it's like, if they threw down the field, there was not enough time left probably to catch it, get back down to the field, and spike it without the clock running out. So, because I think there was only 2 seconds left when they threw that pass to the outbound, and he caught it, got out of bounds. That's like 2 seconds left. So that play was only like 25 yards. So, I mean, that was baffling. I think that was a failure on the players, on the coaching. That was just textbook how you lose a game in the last 20 seconds to Hail Mary.
I've seen a lot of talk about this week too on like, that was just some sports podcast kind of things. And like, I think this come up quite a bit. It's like, why don't teams just blitz on the Hail Mary play instead of dropping so many dudes back to cover it? I feel like you really only need like 3 guys down there. Like, the ball's going to be in the air for so long. You have plenty of time to get 3 dudes around the ball to swat at it. Just leave everyone else up front to just, because you, I mean, he had all day to pass it, and that's how Hail Mary's always worked. The dude needs, 5-6 seconds back there to actually have the time to get his receivers downfield. It's weird how they defend against it. That's what all the teams do, and it's weird that's how they do it.
You know, Lions kind of had that against the Vikings, and they just blitzed them, which I prefer the blitz on myself. I think the Hail Mary, I mean, as a Lions fan, I know the Rodgers Hail Mary too well. This one is even more baffling, which you can all go back to the Lions one too, because they did some terrible coaching on that one that Rodgers did to us. But this one probably was worse. They kept a spy on Jaden Daniels on a Hail Mary. So they rushed 3 and then kept a spy on him. Like, what is he going to do?
Yeah.
He can't run. He would have to pitch it back to an offensive lineman. So you're not getting some crazy like play at the end of the game where they're just going to pitch it back. Like, I don't understand that. Obviously, the big talk was the whole defensive back off in the corner, just mouthing off to fans and didn't even realize the play started. And he was actually the guy who was supposed to cover the guy in the back of the end zone. He wasn't supposed to make the play on the ball, because you normally have guys that defend their guy and box him out. And then you have two guys or so in the front that knock the ball down. Supposedly what I heard is he wasn't supposed to be that guy. He ran up because he knew he was too late to the play, knocks the ball back. And the guy he was supposed to be covering is the guy that was open in the back of the end zone and caught the ball. So like that guy fucked up on three different levels to lose that game. So, yeah, the coaching deserves it, because like I said, well, you'd run a spy there. But honestly, that player, he deserves most of the blame, because he over there taunting that they won and to pull off that. I mean, he deserves all the hate he's getting right now.
Yeah, that's funny. It was a wild ending. I'm glad to see the Bears lose too, because I mean, it's tight enough. We need someone to be sitting comfortably at the bottom for a while here.
I think they're going to stay down there for a while. I think they're the worst team.
Their easy stretch is over now too. They're going to start playing harder teams and a lot of the divisional teams.
Like the hardest schedule remaining, I think.
Yeah, they had the easiest schedule to start.
They got to play against the Vikings, Packers, and Lions all twice, right?
Yep. I don't think they haven't played anybody yet.
That's three of the best teams in the league. So even though they're in their own division, that's rough.
That's six of your last eight games, nine games, whatever it is. Yeah, I mean they have a tough schedule coming up, so they need to figure it out or they're toast, because they didn't look good against this team, and I didn't even think that team was good defensively. But like I said, maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe they are better than I thought.
I think they're coached well. I mean, yeah, I don't think they have really great defense, but they make smart plays.
Yeah,
that's about all I can say. Their defense.
So the next one, we had the Lions. They beat the Titans 52-14. In fantasy, everyone got touchdowns on this one. Monty got one and he threw one.
Yep.
Because the Lions, they do wonky ass shit like that.
All year. Did you see that Monty pass?
I didn't even look at it. I just looked at this after the
day. I guess he was a quarterback.
Yeah,
he used to be a quarterback in high school, so he knows how to throw it. He had a really nice pass. I was like, damn, I didn't know that until everyone started talking about that he was a former quarterback.
I'm surprised how many people in the NFL were former quarterbacks, but I guess when you're in high school and stuff, like the best dude's usually the quarterback. Then you get to college, especially you're now, like, you're not as good as this guy, but you're really good at this or that. So they reposition you. Yeah, Monty had two, whatever you want to call it, one pass, one running, one throwing. Gibbs had one, Amon-Ra had one, Laporta had one, some dude named Raymond had one, some dude named Wright had one. And the craziest part is Jared Goff threw for 85 yards in this game. 85 yards of throwing offense. And they scored 52 points. I don't even know how that's possible. That's mind-boggling to me.
This is one of the craziest games I've ever watched. I would literally be looking at my phone, and then there'd be like a 50-yard return. I'd go back, Lions would score next play. I'd probably stop paying attention because like the defense was just mauling the Titans. So I didn't even care. I was just like, okay, I'll just look for fantasy. Go back, kick the ball, punt return, 36 yards. We're in the halfway down the field already. Like they were 16 yards away from setting an NFL record for return yards in a game. So they had over 300, I think, return yards or like around there. It was insane. It was the best special teams performance I've ever seen in my lifetime. And like, I'm not trying to hyperbole that. I've never seen anything like that. And there's like the stats to back it up, the second most of all time. I forget, there was like a thing that like adjusted points off of like special teams. And it was like the second mark of all time. It's like advanced metric. And it was like, I think like 17 points, some odd points just from special teams is what they said. And it was number two all time NFL history. So depending on how you look at advanced stats, it's still pretty cool to see. Another cool stat that I saw, an NFL record that the Lions put up, so I thought I'd mention that. In their last four games, the Lions have scored 172 points. That is the most points scored in a four-game stretch in NFL history.
Yeah, well, when you have you get 49 against the Cowboys, then 52 this week.
49.
That's 100.
Another 40-point game, and then we had a 52-point game, and we scored 31 against the Vikings. That was our lowest total in four games. So.
Well, Packers will rein that
good
in
luck,
a little
Packers.
Bit.
Good luck, Packers.
We'll rein that in a little
that
bit.
Offense is humming.
We'll rein that in. You're in Lambeau.
I think you probably have one of the best defenses to go up against us because you have a really good secondary. It'll be interesting to see, but if we can run on you,
that's my fear.
Like your
chances. That's my fear.
We can run.
I haven't liked our run defense all year so far. Every time we go up against a good running back, they gash us a whole bunch.
And that's how we want to win. If we do that, we pretty much don't lose.
But I'm sure LaFleur knows that. And I'm sure our new coordinator knows that. I can't think of his name right now. Hopefully they're cooking something up for that.
They definitely worry me. I think that they have the talent to beat us. It's going to be a good game.
We'll see if Love plays. That's going to be the real crux of it.
True.
Maybe not.
With Love, Malik Willis
is a pretty stellar backup, I got to say. You know that meme with like those guys from that car show? Where he's like, oh no. Anyways.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's the Packers when we have to put our backup quarterback in. We're like, oh no. Anyways. Right back to it. No worries.
I don't think that's going to be a good feeling this week if that happens. I'm just saying. High on it for now.
We'll see. Next matchup, we have the Packers. They beat the Jags 30-27, led by Malik Willis in the second half and Josh Jacobs for a good chunk of the game. He had a great game. Kind of like I just mentioned, it's good to have a backup because Love got hurt again. He exited the game in the early third quarter. Apparently it was his groin. This happened pretty early in the game. He was limping around quite a bit. The camera guys and the commentators kept mentioning it. But yeah, it was like one of the first drives. I think he threw it and kind of landed weird on one leg and he was kind of hopping around and he kept playing. Eventually he got like pushed by a dude and landed on the leg weird again. And then he ran off to the side. He got almost to the sideline. He just jumped on his back and that was the end of it for him. But Malik came in, they sealed the game up. It was close, but I mean, it was a tie game. Malik led him down the field. We got another game winning field goal. So it was good. It was a win. I'll take it. Love to throw that interception early on. Didn't throw any touchdowns this week. He had a terrible fantasy week, but I already took my shot, so I'm not doing it again.
That Evan Engram touchdown, that's when I turned the game on, because then the Lions game was kind of pretty much already done. So I watched the Evan Engram touchdown. I'm like, oh, this is a game.
Yeah.
That was incredible. I don't know if that was a good throw. I don't know if Lawrence even knew he was open at all. I think he just
wasn't open.
He's just so fucking
big. He literally outjumped everyone down there. There's like three guys around him. He's tall and I looked at him like, damn, the dude must have jumped like 3 feet in the air on top of how tall he already is. He just snatched it out of the air above all those dudes. Right.
Jordan Love, three people cover him and
yeah.
I can make that.
Yeah, the Jags got pretty hot in that second half. I think for the first almost the first half, I think they finally got one midway through the second quarter, but Packers didn't allow a first down for quite a long time in that game. They were just every drive was a three and out for quite a while. I was like, oh, we're gonna mop this team. But yeah, the Jags, they get hot and they caught up.
But after they lost all their receivers?
I think so. Yeah, pretty much.
Really? It's actually impressive that they started to move the ball after they lost like their starters. So
but yeah, that was the Packer game. Another win. Win's a win. Never complain about it. Then the Vikings, they continue on the losing streak. They lost the last two, so they're no longer on top of the division. They lost to the Rams. Every other team in this division beat the Rams. I will say the Rams got their starters back this week. They're looking more like what people expected them to be. And they're looking like much more of a formidable opponent than when anyone else played them.
Before they got really injured, they played the Lions pretty tough week one. They looked good, you know, and then they started losing their receivers.
Yeah.
They just couldn't get anything going on the offense. So I don't think they're a bad team at all. I mean, the Vikings really just kind of played them at the worst time with Kupp and
Puka
coming back.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't think Puka was going to play as much as he did, and he was pretty much unstoppable. So,
well, I read he only had a 36% snap count, but every time he was in there, it was a play for him. So it was like, if he's in, it's a play for him.
Going back and forth with Justin Jefferson every drive, just seeing who's the better receiver.
Yeah, that dude's insane. But yeah, I mean, the game ended. It was a wild ending. It just seems like a long time ago now, but yeah, it was that face mask that, I mean, there was at least two refs right by the dude. I don't know how it got missed. It was kind of crazy. I don't know what the Vikings would have won anyways. They still had to go 98 yards down the field and score within a minute, something like that. With Jefferson, it's always possible. I don't know how that call got blown. It's one of the more wild ones I've seen in my days watching the NFL.
There's a frame still of the sack with him grabbing the face mask, and like the ref is literally looking at it. Like, I don't know how you didn't see it. Like, it's one thing because I know they came on, so they didn't see it, but like, there's literally like physical evidence. Just what was he looking at then? Like,
yeah,
wouldn't that be the only thing he cares about, is like to make sure there was a legal sack on the quarterback? Like, I just, and it's not like you can hide the face mask. You're going to pull the guy down from the face mask, so you're going to see that from the front, back, side, because he's going to rotate as he goes down. That's kind of how that works. So it kind of baffles me. I mean, I do believe that they missed it. It just shows you how incompetent the refs are. I can't believe stuff like that is missed. It really means to me, like, they just need to add some kind of, like, not every play, but maybe like game changing plays. Just let the booth take and look at it for a second and make the right call. Like, why do we have to have so much judgment on something that we can easily fix? I don't understand.
Yeah. Maybe in like the final, you know, like when the 2-minute warning goes off, just be like, all right, the booth can review anything now.
Right. And you don't even have to even like stop the game. You can just be like, they can just say, okay, we're going to stop this now. Look at this. It doesn't have to be every play. It's like, okay, this is too important of a play. Stop the play for a minute. Let's review and then make a decision. That won't stop. That won't slow down games a bunch.
No.
I think the biggest concern is like everything being reviewable, and then it just slows down the whole production of the game. Maybe we can take away half the commercials and just freaking have it so they put on some reviewing instead. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to see.
And maybe limit it to what you can call it for. Cause I mean, there's the stuff like holding, like that shit happens every play. Like, yeah. Are you going to be like, oh no, like keep playing. Cause there was a hold. It's like, you know, shit, there's always a fucking hold, unless it's like blatant though. It generally doesn't get called.
I mean, personal fouls would make sense. Cause it's like, yeah. Okay, this is someone committing a personal foul. This is considered violent and not healthy for the game. So yeah, maybe you don't do pass interference. Maybe you don't do like holding on the defense, things like that. But something like that, yeah, that could be game changing. Or if like some guy just does something really degenerate, like did you see the what's the Chargers quarterback's name?
Herbert. Yeah, I saw that dude.
Herbert, where the guy like literally tries to, you know, gator tackle him and roll him and then starts to pull his leg and looks like Kurt Angle here trying to freaking do an ankle lock.
Yeah.
Like review that, penalize the guy and kick him out of the game. Like why is that stuff missed? I don't know if that was penalized or not, but like that's the kind of stuff you should just be able to look at, review. Okay, we see this, kick the guy out, 15-yard penalty. We don't have to put that to judgment calls. That's not a judgment.
Yeah. Did the other guy get called on that one? I didn't actually see what the repercussion was.
Might have.
But Herbert's lineman saw it happen. He just comes running and just dives and smokes the guy. I was like, oh, I wonder if he got a personal foul for that, because the ref's not.
I know there's a ref right there looking at him when he hits.
Yeah,
him.
Yeah, he's like, so yeah, he's got his ankle and he's just like rolling over with it. I was like, what the? Who does that shit? Like, you're not the pass is long gone already. You're clearly just trying to, like, seriously hurt the guy, like fuck up his season.
Well, and a lot of people still say like, the Saints have been dirty for years, even after that whole Bounty Gate thing. So I don't know if there's still like almost like underground like Bounty Gate thing going over there, but you can't really deny it after seeing that. I haven't seen something like that in a while. The last one I can remember, you remember Vontaze Burfict?
Yeah.
Considered like the dirtiest player in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I remember one year Cam Newton was coming back from like an ankle injury and he pulled that same thing on Cam Newton on his literally like ankle he just missed like 3 games on. He's just trying as hard as he can to snap that thing. I think even like Cam kicks him at the end. So there's some dirty ass players out there. That stuff should instantly get you a couple game ban at least.
That's the thing, they just get like fines. And like for a lot of it's not that big. Like even Burfict, like yeah, he was notorious for it. I think he racked up like $500,000 in fines. I'm like, that's such a small amount of money to him. Like he probably made $40 million in his career. He's like, whatever.
He got suspended twice, but they were never like super long. I know he got suspended for a couple games, I think for that Cam Newton one. So hopefully that's the same situation here. That's, you know, like a 2-game suspension at a minimum, but you got to get that shit out of the game. You can't be seeing that.
Yeah. I mean, just trying to intentionally hurt people. I get it. You're amped up and shit, but yeah, that's fucked. Yeah, that's the division. The standings currently. The Lions are in first at 6-1. Packers are number 2 at 6-2. Vikings are number 3 at 5-2. And the Bears are in last at 4-3. I'm glad I'm not saying Packers are tied for last anymore. We got the little separation. Don't have to worry about that shit for a while. Hopefully win this week and move up to number 1. Even last.
The Lions are going to separate a little bit further away.
Alrighty. Yeah.
Excited for it.
I'm excited for it too. That's going to be an awesome game. I hope it's an awesome game.
On record, I want Love to play. I want the whole pack. I don't want any excuses. Yeah. I think this is the best Lions team I've ever seen, so I'm not afraid of anything, which normally I would be afraid, be like, oh, I don't want Aaron Rodgers to play this week. I don't care. I want the best Packer effort, so there's no complaining if the Lions win.
Yeah, you'll see our best team in the playoffs, and we'll beat you then. We're not worried about this one so much. I think Jair might miss this game too.
That's actually, that almost might be bigger than Love, to be honest. That guy's playing really good right now.
Maybe, but yeah, I don't know. I think we need Love to beat good teams. We need to score a lot of points to beat good teams. I don't know if Malik Willis is that kind of guy that's going to do that for us. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. But yeah, next section, we'll jump into the fab spending for the week. So Jalen McMillan, the wide receiver for the Buccaneers, was the hot pickup guy this week. He went for $21 to Jackie. Next high bid was $20 by Karsten. So great value. Baker, he's still looking pretty electric down there. He's doing great. He's got to throw it to somebody because Godwin and Evans are both currently out. Evans will come back probably in the week, maybe two. I believe he hurt his hamstring. But I like this one. I gave it a thumbs up.
That $21 bid. Why is no one like beating this? Karsten, you know it's the $22 bid. The $20 bid doesn't work. We've already determined that. Unless like no one else bids on the player, I don't think a $20 bid's ever won, which I think is the case in this next one. But yeah, it's like 21 or 22 almost has to be the standard bid once you get to, you know, that 20 number or higher. As far as the player, I bid on him. I didn't think I was going to get him, but I still threw a bid out there because you never know. Baker's playing well, so having good receivers with a top-notch quarterback is always a lucrative thing for fantasy. And I think the value obviously was great when he beat someone by $1. So great pickup for Jackie, I think. I don't think he played that well this week, you know, stat-wise. So maybe you got to wait a week or two to really see what your fruit of your labor is. But I think he's going to be a good pickup for her. And I think she kind of needs it because didn't she lose a receiver last week for the season? She lost Ayuk. Was that this week or last week? Would have been last
week.
Oh
yeah, she lost Ayuk. But she got Puka back.
Oh. So it's kind of like
you
a
still
wash.
Lose Ayuk, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, good pickup for her. She needed it.
So yeah, same thing. Once again, Keon Coleman, wide receiver of Buffalo, $20 to Jackie. This one didn't have any other bidders. This guy actually did have a good fantasy week, so I can't knock it too hard. But I personally didn't like this one as much. I thought it was an overspend, which I guess it was because no one else bid. But yeah, I mean, the Bills, they just traded for Amari Cooper. They've got a lot of receivers over there. They got that tight end. I didn't like it. I gave it a thumbs down, but he's had two good weeks, so I might be very wrong about this one. Maybe he's the go-to wide receiver there. It's hard to say.
See, rookies are pretty volatile just because you don't really know what you're getting yet. I mean, if you look at my draft strategy this year, I did one very simple thing. I took players on very good offenses. That was my goal. I didn't really care where I picked them. As long as they were on a good offense, that was who I was targeting. And this is kind of that situation. You're getting a lower level player on that offense, or at least a cheaper player on that offense. And with it being attached to a good quarterback, a very good offense overall, you always have a chance for good points. And he's played two good back-to-back weeks. Maybe Amari Cooper is what unlocks the other players on the team, just having like an actual number one receiver that takes pressure off these guys. Now Keon Coleman's always in one-on-one situations, and that's kind of what he's good for, right? He's a jump ball guy, so maybe that's exactly what he needed to be opened up. I don't have a strong opinion on him other than, like I said, if I'm picking up a player, they have draft pedigree, he's got that. Good offense, he's got that. and you got him for a pretty cheap cost. So I don't mind it trying it out and see what happens. Obviously, $20 kind of sucks on all his bid, but I think that was a fair bid for Coleman. I would have gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm sort of a little differing on that one, but yeah, it's that one worked out for her better than the first one. But either way, like you said, she needed receivers. She spent some money, got two of them. $41 down, but if you need receivers, this league has always been, it's hard to get receivers off the waiver wire in this league. So if you got the chance, I guess sometimes you just got to blow some money, even if you're going to blow it on two guys.
And, for it.
Yeah. So you blow it on two guys and cross your fingers and hope that one works out. It's still worth it if you get one out of the two. Last one I had. Go ahead.
I was say we definitely struggle in this league to pick up receivers, but with all the injuries, I think we've seen a higher influx of receivers getting added to the pool. But yeah, normally by this time in the year, we aren't seeing $20 bids for receivers. We're just seeing like $0 bids. Only people are picking up like running backs and stuff for that cost at this point. So the fact that they're out there is good. You know, take advantage of it, but it's going to probably dry up pretty soon because with most teams starting four receivers, it's just too hard to keep good receivers anywhere but in your starting lineup.
Yeah. I do feel like it's usually running backs that are getting hurt all the damn time, but this year it seems like receivers are dropping like flies. Kind of different from the norm.
It definitely is. And I think that's what's caused a lot of the teams to underperform this year in fantasy. It's like a lot of people were, you know, normally it's running backs that get injured and you're like, oh shoot, there goes my team. But that's happening to people with receivers. They're losing like two or three receivers by week six. And now they're sitting here starting, you know, Ricky Pearsall and Keon Coleman. Obviously guys are, you know, have shot to be good, but like, they're still like just backups to good players. They're not really anything yet.
Yeah. So speaking of which, the next one we got Ricky Pearsall, San Francisco wide receiver for $12 to Ashley. Seems like no one really knew what to do with the wide receiver situation in San Fran because no one else even bid on this guy. No one bid on anyone in their wide receiver core this week. I give this one I gave it a thumbs down, but I guess I don't hate it. I mean, they have to throw the ball sometimes at least. But so far, he hasn't done anything. You know, he hadn't even really played. He wasn't on the active roster from what I've seen. He's been there for 2 weeks and hasn't done much, but maybe he'll pick it up. Ayuk's out for the season now. Kittle seems like the big beneficiary of the passing offense down there so far, though.
Yeah. They saw something. I mean, they had three good receivers already when they drafted this guy in the first round, so maybe they weren't sure if they're going to have Ayuk, you know, re-signed at this point, so they wanted some insurance for that. But still, you have three good receivers, you're drafting one in the first round, you have to like the guy quite a bit. The reason he had a slow start is this is the guy that got shot in the beginning of the year trying to keep his watch from some guy and got shot.
That's him. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to give him a little bit of a pass that he started 2 weeks ago. He just got healthy enough to be on the football field. So, it's also weird that this has happened 2 years in a row because we had Brian Johnson get shot right before the season and he was going to be like a starter for the Commanders.
Was that last year? Was that 2 years ago? Last year only.
Robinson got shot. He got shot in the leg. Yep. He got shot in the leg and then still returned and played near the end of the year. Pretty well. Pearsall, though, I think he fits really well with the receiving style that the Niners want. They want guys who are slightly big but are more quick than fast and don't really necessarily have the deep speed, but they can break down at the line of scrimmage and get open in short areas. So he's kind of one of those guys that I just like as a football player because they know the intricacies of the position. So they're naturally pretty good. They might not have as high upside, but I think he might, you know, sit here at like a wide receiver three or a low end wide receiver two, which again, like we said, how rare receivers are in this league. You need that sometimes. And for $12 to see it, I'd give it a thumbs up. I mean, take a look and see what happens. You know, in a couple weeks, he might be one of the better rookie receivers by the end of the year.
They got McCaffrey coming. Well, they might have McCaffrey coming back soon, too. I'm hearing rumors of week 10. We'll see if that actually happens or not. That's whole situation's been weird all season. But once he's back, I mean, he's clearly what makes that offense hum. And when the offense is humming, everyone does better. And the difference between him not there and him there seems pretty stark so far this season. I mean, they looked elite last year. This year, they look a lot more pedestrian, in my opinion.
I think they move the ball well, but they definitely miss McCaffrey when they're in the red zone. I think that's where you're starting to see their team falter is like they're just not scoring like they normally do. They're moving the ball fine, especially for all the injuries they're having. They just can't seem to put it in the end zone.
I'll see how it shakes out for them. That's the end of the fab spending, unless I missed anything. I think that was about, those were all the big spends. Everything else was the cheap kicker switches, defense switches, random flyer guys.
Yeah, I picked up like two defenses. I thought maybe you'd mention that. That was like the only thing that maybe...
Oh, yeah, you spent six on the Chiefs defense. After talking Vicky out of spending any money on the Chiefs defense. Is that right?
I didn't talk her out. I talked her out last week. She put like $20 on a defense. I told her she probably shouldn't do that. This week, she was on her own. She did her own thing. I just picked up two defenses because I'm in a pretty good position. I think I have a three-game lead. So I'm just like, I'm trying to figure out my
playoff schedule already, huh?
Already, yeah. I spent $12 on the playoffs and I already regret the Bears one, I think. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how they shake out. Up next, we got a trade block segment this week. We had a trade in the league.
I'll say mark it for a nickel. How about 2 cents? Okay.
Really big one. I like this one. It's some big names involved. But Poor and Scooter set up a trade. So Scoot sent off Cooper Kupp. And in return, he got Keenan Allen and Rashad White. I personally prefer Poor side of this trade, as I think Kupp is the best out of all those players by quite a bit. And I also don't really like what's going on in Tampa Bay with all those running backs getting action. I'm very low on Rashad White currently. But I could be wrong. They're down a lot of receivers, and he's been great at receiving, so he might get more involved. And also, if the Bears figure out their offense, I don't know if they will. And even if they do, I don't really know who their guy will be. But Keenan Allen is... I mean, we've seen it for years with Keenan Allen. He's extremely talented. He was a number three wide receiver last year, and he missed the last three games of the season due to injury slash they were missing the playoffs. So I think he just sat him out when he didn't even need to. But the dude's great, so this one could go either way. It seemed like there was some drama in the group chat after it happened. I don't really know what it was all about. I don't see anything blatantly wrong with this trade. Like I said, I'd prefer to have the Kupp over the other two, but there's nothing inherently wrong with this trade. Either side could make a strong case to this is the better side.
Yeah, I try to find an unbiased way to look at these things. So I found like a trade value chart, one that I actually use a lot of times just to get an idea what is worth what, because I don't want to try to rip people off. I want to try and make it somewhat fair. So I look at this trade value chart from score.com, and I put the points down what they valued these players at so we can kind of give an unbiased perspective. So Cooper Kupp was 45 points in their system, and then they gave Allen 18, Rashard White for a 22, so that's 40 points. So really there's a 5-point difference between the two. That's a pretty fair trade. And mm-hmm. a lot of people in the fantasy community use this as like their book for figuring out trades. So I agree with you. I like the Cooper Kupp side of it. I kind of at first thought it was like, whoa, that seems like a little give up for Cooper Kupp. But you got to realize now with Puka coming back, Kupp might not be the target hog that we saw in that Lions game that made everyone go, whoa, Cooper Kupp might be a league winner at this point. So with Puka back, that does temper Kupp's expectations, I think, a little bit. So maybe we do have to bring him down. But I'm always the person that likes to go this way. You have your horses and your ponies. Your horses are what, you know, your big dogs, the guys who are the top of their positions. And then you got your ponies. I think you have Kupp, who's on the borderline of being a horse. And you got Keenan Allen and Rashard White, who right now I think are kind of ponies. And I'd rather trade two ponies for a horse. And I think that's kind of what you have here. So I will take Poor side. If you're in a situation where your team's not doing as well, and then yeah, maybe you want the 2-for-1 so you can build up your roster and have a little bit more stronger starting lineup. But yeah, I would take Kupp here pretty much 9 out of 10 times. But again, it's a pretty close trade. So that's the reason I looked at the points, because of what you said with everyone kind of being a little dramatic in the chat. It seemed like there was people talking and it wasn't supposed to be in that chat, and we were all kind of confused. I just stayed out of it because I didn't want to cause anything. But perspective wise, it was a pretty fair trade, even by people outside of our league. So,
yeah, like you said, trades are very situational. Like for Poor, he probably had Rashad White not on his active roster. So he's like, if I can trade this guy and get something and upgrade my receiver by a little bit, this is good for me. Versus Scooter, he's probably like, man, I'm starting some bum on my team at whatever position. He's like, I'll actually be starting both of these guys, so I'll be getting points from both of them. So oftentimes these trades are mutually beneficial to both teams. And as an outsider, you might be like, well, you made this team better. You have to look at it from both teams. Like Scoot's probably also made his team better, because now he got two starters that are going to get points every week. Whereas I don't know who he was starting. I didn't actually look at his roster, but oftentimes these things, yeah, they help both teams and they're good for both teams.
The other thing too is like, on an NFL level, Cooper Kupp and Keenan Allen are probably very similar as players and as like where they're at in their career, skill wise and everything.
Yeah.
There's no reason Keenan Allen can't outproduce Cooper Kupp at the end of the season, right? Like if he starts getting a good rapport with Williams, we might be looking at this trade being like, this is what set Scooter into the playoffs. Like I can see the pathway for this being a really good trade. I love Keenan Allen. He just hasn't been that great this year. I actually sent offers for Keenan Allen a couple weeks ago. So I'm all for him. My biggest problem with this is I just don't like Rashard White. But again, with all the injuries they have, Rashard White might be better because he's kind of the receiving back there. So he's probably gonna get more receptions. So he could just be one of those guys who just keeps getting 10 to 15 points every week. Maybe not score a touchdown. Might not be that good of a player. Might even get really low yards, but he keeps getting touches, that's all that matters. So the trade can really work for Scoot in a big way.
Yeah. I mean, Keenan, also as far as Keenan to Kupp, just the wide receiver part, they're both older. They both have a bad injury history. They both been absolutely fantastic, but Keenan Allen's been fantastic more recently. I mean, points per game, Keenan Allen just crushed him last year. Granted, Kupp's on the same team versus Keenan's on a new team.
Yeah.
But Keenan's with a rookie quarterback. You presume he keeps figuring out and getting better as the season goes on. So anything could happen with that one. I liked it. I like when people trade. I like when people are trying to switch up their team and get better.
Exactly.
It
makes a lot more fun.
Yeah, makes the league more fun.
Trades. Every time I see one, I'm always excited to see what happened. Yeah. And I like to assess it right away, especially because we're going to talk about it on the podcast. But I do that stuff even without the podcast. It just makes it fun.
Yeah, I traded in my other league. I traded this week. I gave away Kyren to get Jamar Chase. The standard league, it was hard. I had Rashi Rice in that league too, and I lost him. So I was currently starting. I had Dontavian Wicks. Drake London's my other like every week starter. But after that, it was like Dontavian Wicks, Juju Smith-Schuster was there. They're all a bunch of bums, and I was like, I really need to get a good receiver in my lineup. My running backs, I had Najee, I have Mostert, I have the Cardinals running back. Can't think of his name right now. Yeah. And I have Tank Bigsby. So I had a ton of running backs. I'm like, I could start any of these guys most weeks and feel pretty good about it. Kyren's obviously by far the best, but I was like, man, if I can get another receiver on my team, this would be great. I feel like in standard, most people would be like, why the fuck would you give away Kyren Williams for a receiver? Even a very good receiver. But and in most of the things I put it in, it's like, yeah, they favor Kyren in this trade. So don't do it, but I'm like, it's just an example of why it's situational. You got to look at your own team. And the guy I was trading to was starting. What the fuck was he starting? He was starting Zach Moss every week as his second running back. So I was like, this is great for him. This is great for me. This should be great for everybody. So, yeah.
It's about as fair as a trade as you can get, especially when you mention the teams. Like, obviously, you're helping each other's teams. That's exactly what a trade is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a winner or loser on both sides. It's supposed to be both sides are making their team better because one team has a surplus of something, their team doesn't. And you can trade that surplus to maybe get a little bit better player, like in the situation between Poor and Scoots. Or in your situation, you're just doing a swap because you need to get other players from your bench probably starting because your receivers aren't as great. And you can, you know, make running back to work.
Yeah.
Well, now you just upgrade your whole receiving core because you got Chase, who has been the number one receiver this year, and I don't think that's going to change.
Yeah, I hope not. I was taking a swing. That league, that's the league I'm looking good in. So I'm like, I need to shore this receiver core up because this is fucking me getting 2 or 3 points this position week in and week out because I just can't find the right guy to start.
Especially receivers, because you're always finding like the boom bust guys at that point that are that low in the like, you know, free agency wire. So it's like you're getting guys, you have to score 3 points this week, and the next week you bench them, they're scoring 20.
Yeah. Well, and it's standard too. So it's like you don't get any of the points for receptions. It's you get the yards. Yeah, that's so if they're not getting touchdowns, you ain't getting jack shit. If they're getting 30 yards, you're like, fuck.
That makes Chase a better one because he's kind of like the Derrick Henry of receivers where he's just all touchdowns and just plays.
Yeah. So hopefully that one works out. Yeah, that's why trading's fun. It's fun. If you're jealous of other people's trades, start chucking trades out there. You'd be surprised what can stick. I mean, don't just throw stupid ass shit that's maybe you should link your little chart or something and somewhere in a group chat or something so people can kind of see.
I can send a link
to that way people can kind of see what they should be piecing together. But also look at the teams if you're doing trades. Like if a team is stacked at running back and you're trying to trade them an extra running back, they're not going to take it. unless it's a huge upgrade for him. So look at other teams and be like, oh, these guys, this team has no good running backs. Or a lot of people in this league have multiple good quarterbacks sitting on their team. There's teams that don't have quarterbacks. My team's one of them. So if you chuck me something,
backup running back that maybe you don't start, but they could possibly start, you know, for a quarterback, that's a fine trade.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be like the top two players on each other's teams moving back and forth. It can be just, you know, bench players for a potential starter.
Well, yeah. All right. Enough about trading. We'll jump into the injuries now. So first one up, we had Jordan Love. He hurts his groin. So second injury of the year. At least he didn't re-injure the first thing. But I kind of talked about this earlier. It happened pretty early on. He kept playing with it. If you're looking to start him this week, definitely keep an eye on it, because like I said, he might not play. The Packers are 6-2. This is a huge divisional game, so I'm sure they would like for him to play. But if he's sore and you're risking a re-aggravation and more games missed, we do have the bye right after, so we could have plenty of time to rest. It's one of those weird ones. I don't know what the Packers are going to do. Nobody does until probably Sunday morning. So if he's your starting quarterback, Lee, keep an eye on it and have a backup prepared in case you need it.
I think they're going to start him if it's even close. I think they just, you can't go into that Lions game and not try to win it, I don't think. And even if a Love is like 80%, it's the same thing with the Vikings game. You could have said that they should probably sat him one more week, but that was a division game. They probably would have if it was like a team like the Tennessee Titans, like the Lions played this week. But it being a division game, I really expect to see him. He'll probably be a little hobbled, but the Lions pass rush hasn't been that great since we lost Hutch, so he might not have to move around as much, and he just needs to sit in the pocket and deliver some good passes. I think he's going to play.
I hope he does. I hope he's playing, and I hope he's feeling good. I mean, honestly, he did play most of this game with the injury, clearly. So,
did he like re-aggravate it? Because I know you said something about he got injured again, and like, did he like pull it?
Like, he kept playing. It was, it didn't look bad. I mean, it's like, you know, he passed the ball, guy got to him, he kind of just like did that as he was going past him, just pushed him a little bit. Mm-hmm. Nothing egregious, nothing like, I'm trying to hurt you, but it kind of like made him stumble and he landed on his leg. And then that was it. He just went to the sideline after that. So, I don't know if he just landing on his leg wrong, or if, you know, adrenaline was starting to wear off and it was starting to hurt more than it was earlier. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, that's a weird injury.
Yeah.
How it all played out.
I mean, I guess I was glad it was a groin. Not.
I heard like the test came back pretty good. Even with almost all the Packer injuries, like everything was pretty mild for the most part, but everyone's kind of like day to day.
Well, I hope so. We need to be a full force for this weekend. Next injury, we had Christian Kirk. He broke his collarbone. He'll be out for the season. It's a bummer for the Jags. Another bummer for the Jags. Same position, same team. Brian Thomas had a chest injury. MRI came back clean, so he might play this week. If you got him, keep an eye on it. It sounds like he's likely to play, but you never know for sure. Then again, same position, same team. Jags. Gabe Davis hurt his shoulder, didn't return to the game. I didn't have an update on this one. If you're actually starting him, I don't know if anyone is in this league. I would keep an eye on it, but that's pretty crazy to lose three wide receivers in a single game to injury.
You know, they added that, like, you can have your third quarterback as a, what do they call that? He's not on your active roster, but you can have them suit up for the games now because that whole debacle and that after Niners game, they need to start doing that receivers, maybe.
Apparently.
The team was their whole receiving core. But I guess the receivers is a little easier because you have running backs and stuff. Maybe they can play in the slot and things like that. But yeah, that's rough. I don't think I've ever seen a team, at least in recent memory, that's lost three starting receivers in the same game. Like that's rough.
Yeah.
The fact that they kept it close is impressive.
Yeah. Well, they have a tight end. Yeah, pretty good tight end too, so they could still pass the ball, luckily. I'm sure there were some receivers out there. I mean, teams usually field, what, five of them in a game, I would guess, so.
5 to 6.
Yeah.
Some rare situations, teams will have four, but they typically have, like, really good tight ends and running backs, you know, sure, to complement that.
Yeah, next up we had Jordan Mason. He hurt his shoulder and left the rest of the game. Keep an eye on it, because he got hurt last week too, and now he's hurt again, and McCaffrey's coming back, so it's the thing to monitor if you're starting Jordan Mason, which in our league, that's Scooter, but he also has McCaffrey now, so you don't have to worry so much about the McCaffrey return. In fact, he's looking forward.
He's basically waiting for McCaffrey to return. I don't know if he's really too worried about Mason getting injured at this point, which is kind of a nice problem to have. But yeah, you really need McCaffrey to return in the next week or two, because I know he hasn't had the best luck lately with his games. So McCaffrey is a big deal for him.
I'm still pretty skeptical about if McCaffrey comes back, because they've been just lying their asses off about this all fucking year so far. Yeah, I'm here.
I feel like this is 10, the most week 10, I'm like,
okay. You said week one.
Right. I feel like this one's pretty truthful, though, because like it's been kind of going this way for a couple weeks now. Like, they haven't really set the 10th as the date way back, but it was always kind of like later on in the year is what they always said. So typically when you hear those reports and then you get closer to later on and they start giving an exact date, you can be pretty confident about it. So I would say this is like a 95% chance he's coming back.
Okay. I hope so. He's fun to watch. Hopefully he's still got it too. Hope he's not busted up at this point.
Yeah, football's better with great players. Yeah. So I want him to be healthy.
Then the last one I had for injuries is Sterling Shepard for the Buccaneers, because they needed to lose another wide receiver. Why not? So he hurt his hamstring. Usually hamstrings are several weeks, so they're down to their four-string wide receiver is their number one now, till Evans gets back and Sterling gets back, I guess. So, yeah, some teams are going real deep into their wide receiver pool, pulling guys out the practice squad at this point, I'm quite sure.
You mentioned it earlier. This is like the craziest year for receiver injuries I've ever seen, at least when it comes to fantasy. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad this year I actually, the last several years I've drafted very wide receiver early, heavy early on. This year I went more running back early. And for whatever reason, I guess I'm kind of lucky in that aspect, because running backs haven't been, at least my running backs haven't been getting hurt, but receivers, yeah, they're dropping like fucking flies.
I like how you make that comment, but like every team was Rice.
Yeah, but he wasn't early. He was like a fifth, sixth round pick. Well, one was the auction. He was fairly cheap. And I think in our league, he was a fifth round pick.
It's just funny because like he was a very notable player early in the season, just to be like, yeah, I got him in each league, and then he got injured. The one guy you did like really sell out to get gets injured. It's like it's just the way fantasy goes.
He got injured by his own quarterback though, so it's different.
Mahomes is trying to fuck you all year. Yeah. He's trying to take your team out by himself.
He may have pulled it off. Yeah, so we got the matchup recap. We'll get into them. The first one is myself versus Sapor. Sapor won this one 141.2 to 134.24. This was almost the highest score versus the second highest score, but you scored 134.26, so 0.02 more than me. Otherwise, it would have been highest score versus second highest score.
I saw that.
Goddamn close to it. But yeah, I mean, the big one in this one was CD. He just went absolutely fucking nuclear. And it was like the last 6 minutes of the game is where 80% of his points came from. I was watching it. I always play games on Sunday night, and I have the game on my other screen, and I was watching, and I was like, the whole time, like, all right, I was up by like 28. I was like, as long as CD doesn't get 28, I'm good. And then just, he was pretty low, pretty low, pretty low, pretty low, and then just garbage time, Dak, CD, just, he just got two touchdowns, the most wide open touchdowns I think I've ever seen for like a wide receiver one like that get. It was pretty infuriating to see. I'm like, how is no one even close to this guy two times in a row? Like, I get it. You're backing up. You're playing soft. But it's like, he's the one. He was literally in the end zone when he threw it to him. Like, there's no one within 10 yards of the guy. Whatever. That's fantasy.
Those are the rough ones, though, where it's like your team looks like you're solid, but then they go in prevent mode because they know the game's already over. And that one player just goes off because, yeah, they're just playing soft coverage. They don't even care that he's scoring. Yeah.
Yeah. But I did have highlights on my team. James Cook looked great again. He went for 111 yards and two touchdowns. Marvin Harrison, the guy I traded for last week, he finally had another good game. I think this is his first good game since like week two. So I was pretty happy to see that. We'll see if he can get any more of them or if he'll go on another drought here. DeAndre Swift, he looked pretty good again this week. That was another one. He kind of did the same thing as CD. He did nothing for the vast majority of the game, but like this one was more like the last quarter. He finally turned it on. He got into the end zone. He got a touchdown. He actually should have had two touchdowns. The Bears almost lost the game because they didn't just give him the ball when they were on the 1 yard line. They gave it to their backup center to run it in, and then he fumbled it. Like, if they didn't do that, they would have won.
I'm baffled at whatever that was. Like, what?
Yeah.
Why is the center, a backup center, taking the football and running it? Like, they don't know ball security. They're not used to people punching the ball out. Yeah. Like, this isn't William the Fridge Perry, you know, trying to score a touchdown. He's been used to this. This is just a random dude they just ran a play with that they're trying to be cute. Like, to me, that's when teams get too cute and they throw games. Like, at least when the Lions are doing all their trick plays, they're typically up by like two scores and they're just fucking around a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It's like they do that to keep teams on edge, and they do those trick plays every now and then. But like teams like this, they don't ever do trick plays, and they just do it in one random situation and none of it makes sense. And well, that's the result you get.
And like I said, Swift was hot at the time. He had just busted off a huge run. I mean, he ran it right down. He got knocked down at like the one or the two or wherever it was. He pulled him out of the game. Like, he was on fire at the moment, so I'm like, why would you pull him out of the game and do that? It didn't make sense to me.
You could argue he was the only player that was like keeping him in that game.
Yeah.
The offense was stagnant until Swift had that huge touchdown run. Like, that was it. Like, he was the offense. So yeah, why don't you let the guy who's winning you the game win you the damn game? I hate when teams get too cute like that, and that's what they did. And they deserve the loss because of it.
Could have got me a fantasy win too. I didn't need much more to get a win. Touchdown.
You would have still lost.
No, touchdown would have done it. I wouldn't have been enough.
You'd have been like a point.
Would have been even closer. Well, no, because he would have got a couple of yards. It would have been close.
Well, you said it was like on the one or two.
Though, yeah, right? It was really close.
10-yard touchdown. 10-yard touchdown would have probably tied the game or been close. You needed a 15 or 20-yard touchdown.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and actually, I didn't get Ladd McConkey to this matchup because Poor Boy did have him, but he was on his bench. So I was against him in one league, I was against him in both leagues, but luckily Poor Boy benched him because he went off for 111 yards and two touchdowns. Otherwise, I could have got my ass whooped instead of just losing. But next match, we had Tiff versus Richard. Richard wins this one, 123.26 to 104.14. Richard started Bo Nix this week. He had a great game for Richard. He's actually coming on and looking pretty good the last several weeks. He's looking like a pretty good rookie so far. I didn't actually look, but he's probably up there in quarterback scoring with the last several weeks that he's gotten.
I know he was really low in the beginning of the year, but yeah. I think his last weeks probably put him at least like in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, so that'll be an interesting one to watch. Maybe he's got a good quarterback there. I don't have to worry about starting watchers anymore. Then we had Cedric Tillman, a Cleveland Browns wide receiver. He had a great game for Richard. Now the Browns have a good quarterback that can actually throw the ball. That's good to see. Last note I had was Tiff finally benches Kelsey this week, and Kelsey goes off, as fantasy goes for, I mean, everybody. That's just the way fantasy is. They finally give up hope on week 8. And
he's a tough player to bench. I honestly don't want to like doom and gloom people, but like I don't know why you'd ever be benching someone like him. Like, you're getting too cute, you know? Like, he is still Travis Kelsey, and I would start him the whole year, even if he was playing poorly, because like you just never know when he's going to turn around. You put that draft cap on, unless you have like the next guy who looks great. Like, let's say you have that Raiders tight end, and you know you have a guy who's just going to outproduce him most weeks. But if you're going and picking up someone on the free agency wire to replace Kelsey, like, I would just stick with Kelsey. So that's a rough way to. Luckily, I don't think that would have cost her the game.
No. He might have had 20 points, but even that wouldn't have been enough.
Yeah. So I guess you don't have to feel too bad then if that's the case, but still, just start him. don't try to get cute. Just keep Kelsey in your lineup.
Yeah. It's hard. I mean, you could say the same thing about like Patrick Mahomes, but if you're starting him all year, you're losing because of it.
Mahomes is a little different because it's easier to get quarterbacks. Like, tight ends, it's just like a wasteland. Like, you're replacing Kelsey with what?
Yeah,
there's nothing good out there. Like,
that's
quarterback. There's many quarterbacks you can start every week in the free agency wire.
That's kind of hard too. I feel like a lot of teams have multiple quarterbacks. I was looking, I got Caleb Williams. He was looking good, and then I start him, and he's playing against a poor defense, and he scores like 7 points. I'm like, what the fuck? You can't depend on any of these guys. They're all crapshoots.
Or you pick up Bo Nix against a bad defense and he goes off for like 30.
Yeah.
Got to pick the right one every week.
Is taken. Yeah. See what happens. I think Anthony Richardson's bench now, so I can drop him and pick up a different quarterback that I can gamble on. But yeah, next matchup we had Lee versus Vicky. Lee wins this one 125.84 to 102. Jordan Love puts down an impressive 5.74 points for Lee before he left the game due to injury. That's a bummer, but then Lee still scored plenty. I mean, he could have had 10, 15 points more on an average week from Jordan Love, so that's a pretty impressive score all around. Josh Jacobs, he had a fantastic game for Vicky. You like to see that. Kittle on Lee's team, looking like he's probably the best tight end this season. And Joe Mixon, once again, every week since he came back from injury, has looked dominant, like top three kind of running back. So Lee's team.
Yeah, Kittle and Mixon carrying his team lately. Yeah. They're putting up crazy points. So those two, if they keep it up, he's a big threat in the playoffs.
Yeah, his team's looking super hot, which is, it's impressive.
Especially when everyone laughed at him when he was 0-4 and everyone was making jokes at him. Look at how fast you can turn that stuff around in fantasy.
It turned around extremely quickly. Got rid of McCaffrey and he got rid of all his problems. He's very big at it.
That was a good trade. It proved to be a really good trade because right now he wouldn't have McCaffrey. He might not have won this game. Vicky made a mistake. She didn't realize to set her lineup, so she didn't put in McLaurin for Higgins, who was out. So if he had McCaffrey in this game and Vicky would have made that decision where she should have, I don't think Lee wins this game. So Lee's trade theoretically won this game for him and probably won him some other games this year already.
Yeah, because Achane was Achane's back. He's looking good now that Tua's back. The Dolphins offense looking good against this Tua's back. Next matchup, we had you versus Scoots. You won this one, 134.26 to 88.08. So we had the second highest score versus the lowest score. And bit of a one-sided one, but a few highlights from it. We had Jalen Hurts. He got back to form. He had a fantastic game. He got the tush pushes. He got his running yards. That's why you drafted him. The tush push touchdowns. They're extremely valuable. Kyle Pitts, he had probably the best game of his career. I didn't actually look it up, but he did fantastic.
I'd have to imagine, that was a crazy good game.
Yeah, his rookie year, he had a lot of yards, but he had barely any touchdowns this game. Did he have two touchdowns?
Touchdowns both like 50 and like 35 yards. Yeah. Like he's that's why I drafted him, because I thought, if he could put it all together, he's got all the skills to be a crazy good deep threat as a tight end. Like, you can't put a linebacker on that guy. He's 6'5", 240-ish, and runs like a 4.4. Like, he's impressive athletically. So maybe he's finally starting to put his career or put everything together for his career and is going to be a relevant player in fantasy. I'm hoping so. That's why I drafted him. I thought Cousins was going to get the best out of him, and I think we're starting to see that because he's put together a couple good games now. I think he's been the number one tight end over the last like four games. So
it might have been.
I mean, maybe not number one. Maybe Kittle would have been number one, but definitely one of the top three tight ends over the last four games.
Yeah, next one I had Jordan Mason. He got hurt early on and dropped a 1.8 for Scooter. That doesn't help with getting the lowest score of the week, but what are you going to do with some of these guys? Start, get hurt, exit the game, get you a fucking nothing on your lineup. Tyreek, he had finally gets double digits for the first time since week one. Now the two is back. You got to be happy to see that for Scoots. I mean, that's your number one pick this year, and he's been absolutely terrible. But Tua's back. Once Tua's back, they can throw the ball. Once they can throw the ball, Tyreek gets wasn't a great game, but I foresee much better games in the near future.
Yeah, I think the whole Miami offense obviously returned back to form. Like, we were laughing at them for the last 5 weeks, 4 weeks or so, and look at what happens as soon as Tua comes back and everything seems to be working.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, Tyreek, Waddle, Achane, if you got those type of players, you can feel pretty good about them. Kind of go back to what you originally thought of them before the draft. So that's what I would expect moving forward from that team.
I heard someone say Tua should get MVP because he's clearly the most valuable player for a team in the NFL. He's gone. The team's absolute fucking garbage. He comes back like, hey, we're good again.
Yeah, I feel like you could do have a lot of teams though, but it does prove to you how important quarterbacks are, because they had nothing behind him and they literally tanked their season. If they just had a Flacco, they maybe win half those games.
Yeah.
And they're feeling a lot better about themselves right now. So I honestly, I think that right there could almost get that general manager fired. The fact that those two did not feel like they needed a backup for Tua
should
be looked at as like a fireball offense, in my opinion, but we'll see.
Of all players, yeah. I have a backup for Tua. It's quite the history of missing time. But yeah, next matchup we had Mike versus Carson. Mike wins this one 130.26 to 120.16. So Carson started with Lamar Jackson. He had another great game. Even in a loss, still put up pretty solid fantasy performance. Kyren, he kept up his touchdown streak this week for Carson's. Guy just can't stay out of the end zone. On Mike's side, we had Ramondre Stevenson. He had a fantastic game in the Patriots win over the Jets. I think that's like his second good game all season. Good to see if you're a Ramondre Stevenson owner. I think we talked about him last week. Dude's great. Just their offense usually is not moving the ball. So maybe they're figuring something out. Maybe the Jets have just given up. We'll see what happens in the future with him.
I think the Jets have been kind of bad against the run game all year. I think their pass defense is obviously fantastic, but I think that's where you beat them. So, you know, division matchup, they know kind of how to play your weaknesses. Ramondre Stevens probably was in a good position to have a good game there. As long as I can keep the offense moving, Stevenson should be solid. I think his first two games, he was like the top like five running back in the season. So he just needs an offense that keeps turning out yards so he can just be productive, and then he'll be a solid running back too for Mike.
You'll see what happens. I mean, did Drake May play this game? I didn't actually check.
He got injured or something, because it didn't their backup finish out the game. So I think May might have got injured.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he got benched, but I heard something.
No, I knew he didn't get. I thought he might have got hurt last week and then he wasn't going to play this week. So I wasn't sure.
Oh, maybe that was it.
But maybe he got hurt this week.
I don't know. We're being a very bad podcast host by not knowing these
things. Yeah, I know, right? I should look these things up instead of asking questions. I'm at my computer. I got the Google right here. But
this is why we will not get sponsorship money.
Yeah.
This will end our
extremely podcast. Prepared, as always. last note I have. Njoku, once again, has a great game. Sean Watson's gone. Njoku's back to being a great tight end. So that's good for Carson's.
He had like 14 targets after Watson went out with injury last week. So it's crazy how like different they play with some of their players as soon as Watson goes out. You know, like, Watson really holding that team back that bad? And the owner was like not letting them bench. Like I told you last week, like the whole thing was that they had backup quarterback that they had wasn't Jameis, because they didn't want to cause drama and have people chanting for Watson to get replaced because Winston is a notable name. If that's the case, like, I feel bad for all Browns fans. I mean, if I was a Browns fan when Watson was first signed to the team, I probably would have considered not being a fan anymore. But like, I almost feel like at this point, maybe come over to the other side of the lake, you know, pick the Lions, or, you know, maybe go up a little bit north and go to the Bills. They have a cold weather team. That's
rough.
I feel bad for those fans. They're such a passionate fan base and they get fucked so much by terrible ownership.
They got the Pittsburgh in the area too. They can go there.
I can go Pittsburgh Steelers. Too. So there's a lot of great teams, you know, good ownership. The Lions have finally turned around. The Bills turned around once they got Allen, obviously. So we got a lot of good franchises in this area. So, you know, maybe the Browns should look at considering relocating to some new fan bases.
Or the Bengals. Bengals are in the same state, aren't they?
And the Bengals are in the same state, but I mean, they've had a rough year so far, but yeah, at least they're kind of fun, you know. Yeah. They got Chase, they got Burrow, and Burrow is, I still think he's one of my favorite players in the league. I hope he wins a ring soon.
Yeah, he's got a dumb haircut though, so I don't think he'll go so far with that. Yeah, I mean, I think Deshaun Watson is that bad, because they did the same fucking thing happened last year when he got hurt. Flacco comes in, they look great, go to the playoffs.
It's
2 years in a row, he gets hurt, all of a sudden they're good. When he's there, they're middling to bad. So
they were showing some stats because Winston threw for 300 yards, right? And that's kind of like a big benchmark for quarterbacks. If they went over 300 yards, mm-hmm. there's always stats like he's got this many yards, 300 yards. I think they said the Browns have 7 300-yard games since Deshaun Watson has been signed to the team. How many do you think Deshaun Watson has had?
Probably none.
Zero.
Yeah.
That's like the most mind-boggling thing ever. Like, this guy is getting $250 million. He's been on the team 3 years. They have 7 300-yard games. He has not accounted for one of them.
Yeah, so they're all the backups.
That has to be the worst trade in NFL history. Like, they always go back to the one that started the Dallas dynasty. That's always concerning.
The ones that, is that with the Lions?
That running back.
That trade?
No, that was Dallas and The Vikings.
It was the Vikings. Okay. I thought it was an NFC North team.
Had, what's his name? I can't think of his name right now. But yeah, that was always one of the biggest lopsided trades in NFL history because it literally, you know, sparked a dynasty for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. This one, though, like literally just blew up the whole team. Like the Browns, before they traded for him, were considered one of like the big hot teams in the league. You know, everyone thought, wow, this team is just stacked of talent. They just need, you know, more consistency from their quarterback. And the only reason it wasn't as consistent as it was the year before because Baker was injured. So like everything about that is just, I am still baffled.
Yeah. The Cowboys one wasn't even as bad because the Cowboys, a lot of that trade was picks and they turned those picks. They just hit on exactly. All those fucking picks. And it's like, yeah, it's a great trade. But if you miss on half of those picks, which is probably the consistency in the NFL, like it doesn't look like such a great trade. But yeah, they just nailed on all of them. And then, yeah, started the dynasty because they had the best O-line in football and Emmitt Smith. And it was like, yeah, what are you going to do now? But yeah, one more matchup to hit on before we close this thing off. We have Jackie versus Ashley. Ashley wins this one 125.5 to 96.2. On Ashley's side, Baker, he still looked pretty good, even without Godwin and Evans in the lineup. I was curious about this one. If you're a Baker owner, you definitely like to see this kind of production without his two starters in there, you know, two Pro Bowl guys out, and he can still pull it off. Also on Ashley's side, she had Cade Otton, the tight end for the Bucks, and Baker's possibly favorite target now that the guys are gone. So Ashley kind of doubled down on a lot of those points because he had just a fantastic game. I mean, those two going together is the difference in this game. That was a huge dynamic duo for her. Jonathan Taylor on Jackie's side, he looked great coming back. You like to see that guy coming back from an ankle injury. A running back coming back from an ankle injury, especially, you'd like to see him come back and dominate, and he did. Also to note, Ashley stole Jackie's strategy of starting two tight ends and used it against her. So she started Mark Andrews in the flex with Cade Otton in her tight end spot, and it worked out. And then Jackie, she had a star-studded bench this week. Almost every single player on her bench went crazy, like 15-plus points. So she was kind of bummed that she made all the wrong decisions, but I don't know if it was a huge enough swing to switch it, even if she did hit on all the right picks, because she lost by about 30 points.
I mean, just looking at it, I mean, some of these situations are kind of hard too. It's like, I could see the Cousins one. That would have definitely been a big deal. I mean, that alone could almost win her the game. But a lot of them are like, they're definitely the worst players. And like, obviously Puka Nacua was coming off an injury. The Tracy one, Tracy Jr., but like, you'd have to start him in your flex, and then she put Tank down her flex. She definitely had a lot of decisions. It's surprisingly, she has a lot more decisions than most people do at this point in the year. Like, her bench is kind of stocked full of pretty solid players.
Toss some trades out there, Jackie. Unload some of your bench players and make your starting lineup a little better.
Yeah, right. Her bench might have outperformed like some teams this week. Yeah. Like, that's over 100 points, right? 28, 22.
I think so. I mean, there's a quarterback on the bench.
50. 70, 80, 90. Yeah, there's 100 points on her bench.
I thought it was like, next year, maybe we can do like highest bench score every week. It's like $2 fab or something like that.
I don't mind that. But then there could be like if people are rigging it to get 2 points off fab, whatever, let them have four.
My original thought was, yeah, someone's going to stack up on quarterbacks to get the fab. But I'm like, I wouldn't even care that much because then you're just fucking your bench to just load up on quarterbacks and you're not going to have tech ups.
Are you really that worried? Because if they're doing that to like get fab to buy players and free agency, they already have four slots by quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have any room for anybody else. So like, honestly, it would be a failed strategy.
Yeah. And the most you could win in a fantasy season would be, we only go to week 14. Well, then it's the playoffs, but a lot of teams are done by the playoffs. So week 14 would be 28 extra fab dollars. Like, it wouldn't even get you that much.
So yeah, what are you going to do with 28 points? I mean, that's maybe one solid bid on a good player. And you might get one good player out of it, but you have to basically sacrifice your whole year to do it.
Yeah, I toss it out there. Yeah, like, maybe people would feel better. It's like, yeah, at least I get something from the badass bunch. But I was like, yeah, I guess people could try to game it, but I don't know if anyone would. Doesn't seem like it'd be worth it.
It would be like very small things, I feel like, if you're like, oh man, I don't really need anyone on my final bench spot, so I'm just going to add a second or third quarterback, you know, that would be the only thing. But that's not really cheating the system. It's just trying to get extra points. And again, if you're getting that for such a minimal amount, whatever.
And if people do it and it's turning more people into the waiver pool, I guess it wouldn't be a terrible thing.
I think it's actually a solid idea. Wouldn't mind doing it.
We'll toss it up for a vote whenever we do the next vote. I'll put it in my notebook later. I'll have to remember to do it. But yeah, that's the matchups. We already got our bet for next week. So that's pretty much the show. Next week, we're going to have two guests on. Special two guest episodes. We've gone 2 weeks without a guest. We will have Karsten's on to do a little interview with him. And we're going to have Heeb's on to do us a mid, slightly past mid-season updated power rankings. See what he thinks of the league from an outside eye.
I like it.
So tune in for that next week, everybody. Any parting words for the listeners, Jim?
Again, we're kind of getting into that final stretch of the season. As we talked about, we had another trade this week. You know, we just talked about Jackie's bench being really solid. This is the time of year where you can make or break your season. So start making some good decisions in the free agency pool, you know, making some good pickups. There's going to be some guys getting injured, some guys, you know, cycling through there. Keep an eye on it. And then obviously start making trades. I will post that trade value chart in the chat, I guess, or text chat. Yeah, I'll throw it in there.
Yeah.
And people can see that, get an idea what players are worth. Maybe they'll help understand, like, you know, what we're offering or what you're offering is worth what the other people have too. So you're not just getting lopsided trades if that's what you're afraid of. So unbiased source, look at it, see if there's anything you can do with it. If not, keep having fun. It's been a great year so far. This has been one of the most competitive seasons I've ever seen, I think, out of this league. Everyone seems to be still in the running to make the playoffs at this point, and I don't really think there's even one team that's really that bad. It wasn't Ashley the worst record before at 2-5, and she just won, so she's 3-5. So we have a big group of 5-3 and 3-5 players. As we mentioned last week, every week we're probably going to see a different result for playoffs because things are going to change so much week to week with how close everyone is. So make moves, make good decisions, and you might be in the playoffs holding the trophy at the end of the year.
Yeah, and there is a trade deadline too. It's November 29th. It's like, so I don't know what week that lines up with, but
a month away.
What's that?
It's a month away.
Yeah, 1 month away. So it's before the regular season ends. Just keep that in mind if you're trading. Like the last 2 weeks of the season, you can't trade anymore. And 2 or 3 weeks of the season, you can no longer trade before the playoffs start. And then the playoffs, there's no trading either. You can still do waiver stuff, all that stuff, but yeah, no trades after that point.
There's still a lot of people with high fab amounts too. You know, we see people losing out on players, and I don't know what their, you know, amount they have, but right now is where you can be a bully. You know, I know Vicky has like around 80 or 100. You can bully other people. If you think this player is worth 20, bid 30. You don't have to be holding on to that fab anymore. Start making aggressive bids for players that you like. Maybe not putting 20 on a kicker, but as long as you make good decisions and you bid a little bit higher than you think players are worth, you're going to get them right now if you have a lot of fab left. Myself, I think I'm like in the 20s at the moment. I don't know about anyone else. I'm probably one of the lower teams. I'm not even trying to get players anymore for high amounts. I'm just looking for defenses and probably kicker swaps for the rest of the year until I feel good going into the playoffs.
Yeah, there's Richard has $86. Carson's has 20.
Oh, Carson's has 20. Jeez,
what is he? Spent, oh, sorry, Carson's has 80. Money. Sorry,
I don't remember picking up
20 on a kicker. He's got 80 left.
All right.
He must spend something else. I think he was over 100 at one point. Vicky has 103. Mike has 60.
Vicky needs a reminder every now and then. Yeah. I'll remind her this week. She always forgets. So
yeah, you got 26. You're pretty low. Jackie's down to 35 now. She blew a lot last week, but she was in that spot that you're exactly such about. Like she wanted wide receivers. She had money. She used it. She's got $35 left. So if there's something interesting comes up, she can still purchase. You know.
Right.
I'm at 34.
About making your team better, and you kind of look at the rest of the league and understand how to do that.
Yeah. Like I said early on, you don't get to take it with you. It's meant to be spent. Use it. Further on you get into the season, the less likely something crazy is going to pop up. Especially when you get towards the way end, people are going to start people are going to start putting the backups to their running backs on the bench, so they're not going to be available to pick up regardless. So get people while you can still.
And people are getting smarter in this league. So you're seeing a lot of these players getting picked up a week or two before they go off. So that's why you almost have to be more aggressive, because Jackie, she picked up that one Giants running back.
Tyrone Tracy, really good.
Yeah. She just picked him up on like kind of like the fly. Probably like a week earlier than most people would have bid on him. So those are the type of moves people are making now in this league, which is awesome to see. That makes it even harder to get players in free agency. So you're probably not going to find some of those gems at the end of the year. I think we've already kind of gone through them already with Hunt, the Giants running back, Mason. Those guys are not going to be found on the waiver wire anymore.
Yeah. That's our two cents of advice. Take it or leave it. That'll pretty much wrap her up. Cool.
Got a big game this week.
Yeah, big game. Well, for anyone listening, I'll put a thing out in the group chat, see if people want to get together for this one. I mean, everyone in the league's pretty much either Packers or Lions fan, except for Ashley. He's a Vikings fan, but hopefully the Vikings don't also play at the exact same time. If they do, we can watch it at our place. I got two TVs. We can make it work.
No one wants to watch the Vikings anymore anyway. They had their run. They got their 5-0. We know they're not making the playoffs now. You know, that's the way it is in the Vikings.
Your bold prediction's starting to look better on that one.
Might be my only one that's even close to making it, but no, I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs anymore. But, you know, it's still fun to say it. And it is kind of funny that they lost two games and they've kind of looked pretty pedestrian in the last two. Well, they played the Lions tough, but to lose to the Rams the way they did, that was rough.
Yeah, and both of them were close, though. And I think they're playing against two very good teams, so.
Right. Yeah, you can't look at the Rams that lost to the Packers and Bears and be like,
yeah.
And even the Lions and be like, hey, that's what they are. No, this is a much better team once they have all their weapons.
Yeah, they were kind of, they had some injuries going into the Lions game, but by the end of it, they had most of them. You guys are the ones who hurt Puka. You hurt a couple of extra dudes on their defense that weren't already
hurt.
They
had two backup linemen, I know, against the Lions, which was crazy. They already had like five or six starters out that game, and then they lost more of that game, and then I think they had more out for the Bears, more out for the Packers, and obviously the Vikings game is the one time this season they probably have had at least most of their starters.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm very much looking forward to the game. Like I said, we'll put a thing in the chat, see what people want to do for this one. It should be a very entertaining one. Yeah, I think we'll call her there. Covered everything we need to cover. Tune in next week. See the guests. We might cut some other stuff out next week so we have time to do two guests, but we'll make it work. You can always cut it into or whatever. We'll make it happen. Yeah. Thanks everybody for listening. Tune in next week and have a good night. Good luck in fantasy this week. Bye.